Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study in Ephesians chapter 2, we finished verses 1 through 3. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom starts a new study today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Foundation for the Bible.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom, welcoming you to another Lamp and Light broadcast. Well, I hope you'll have your Bibles ready today as we go into Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start looking at verses 4 through 7. I have titled this, The Compassion of His Grace. Oh, I hope you'll be listening into the next few days as we cover the compassion of His grace. Of course, it'll take eternity just to really examine that as how it should be examined. But we're going to try to do it over the next couple of days here, 2, 3, 4 days. So please be listening in. Ask your friends to listen in. Have pencil and paper ready. Take notes and follow along. And listen, friend, write us. We want to hear from you. We like to get your Bible questions. We like your words of encouragement. I recently heard from a listener who had listened to our broadcast and let me know that it was a help to them in understanding of Bible doctrine. And you know, that is one of the goals of this broadcast, is to help God's people know God's Word better. And so we do a verse-by-verse study every day. Again, get your friends to listen in because they will be blessed, you will be blessed, and the lamp and light will have an effect in their lives. I trust also that you pray for the Lamp and Light Radio Ministry. We covet your prayers. We need your prayers. And we ask that you pray that God would give us wisdom as we make decisions in the expansion of this ministry. My friend, we ask for your prayers. Now, if you have your Bibles and you're ready to go, turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 through 7 and follow along as I read. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, as we look at the compassion of His grace, we first see the compassion of His grace in His love for us. Now again, we read verse 4 here of Ephesians chapter 2 that says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. But God. You see, man can take no credit for what follows that term, but God. We just can't take any credit for it. It's all of His grace and mercy. Nothing whatsoever we do or did, provided the cause or the impulse for God's mercy. Mercy is God's exercise of pity and compassion upon the sinner with a forbearance that we do not deserve. Friend, God owes me nothing, but He offers me complete salvation. That salvation is based on His great love. We're reminded of John 3:16 where it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Our redemption is not merely an act of sparing us from doom, which the word mercy alone might imply that, but His mercy is rooted in His matchless love for mankind whom He created. We all can remember as young fellows, and especially us guys as little boys, if you had brothers, you found out brothers fight. Now, some of you may be like me. You had three brothers older than you. And the oldest of the ones ahead of me was 10 years older than me. Now, I could try to pick a fight with him or do things with him, which would have been dumb at a young age. But, you know, he was always ready to give mercy when I asked for it. But to show his superiority and to humble this little guy, he sometimes had to put just enough pressure and just enough pain until I was ready to give and have a right attitude about it. And, you know, sometimes that's what God has to do with us. He doesn't exercise all His power in His correction of us, but it's above what we can stand of our own strength, and we have to come to Him for mercy. And that really takes us to a great mystery of life. The first three verses here of Ephesians chapter 2 show us that a man is a complete failure. All mankind is a complete failure. Man is incapable of saving himself. So what happens in verses 4 through 7 show us a radical change. The great mystery of life is the love of a holy God for a sinful man. In chapter 3 and verse 19, we will be there in a few weeks, but the verse there says this, "And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Well, what a wonderful verse that is. We will see that the love of God passes human knowledge. And that's not speaking in unreal platitudes. When John declared in 1 John 4:8 that God is love, he was declaring an absolute, not a relative attribute. That's an absolute attribute of God. Nothing in us made us worthy or attractive to God. God's love stood in stark contrast to the sinners whom He loved. Yes, He made us in His image, but oh, the terrible fall we had. But His love did not fall with our fall. And therefore, He who made us in His image took on our image, being made and found in the likeness of man. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So yes, my friend, God's love stands in stark contrast to sinners whom He loved. By that I mean that each of us love. But that is a relative attribute, because our love is marred by depravity and is interlaced with selfish, ulterior motives. Pure, perfect love, which is His love, is further beyond us than the sun is beyond a candle in brilliance, or a mountain is beyond a molehill in height and grandeur. His great love, wherewith He loved us, is speaking of God's absolute love, pure, holy, and perfect in all its dimensions. And my friend, it is out of that love that God wrought justification. And it's out of that love that His mercy and grace flows toward us. We see the compassion of His grace in His saving work for us. In verse 5, He says, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He says, even when we were dead in sins. Spiritual death is the separation of the spirit or person of the man from God. It is a deadening of the spirit part of man that is so insensitive, that is insensitive toward God, that is insensitive toward the things of God. The death spoken of here, dead in sins, is a spiritual death. And the new life given is a spiritual life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, in John chapter 10, verse 10. And He was not referring to biological life, rather to spiritual life. Remember Jesus speaking to Nicodemus? He said, ye must be born again. Now, He didn't mean physical birth, as Nicodemus thought that He was referring to. You see, Nicodemus did not understand what Jesus was saying because he didn't have the capacity to understand. Nicodemus was spiritually dead. And Nicodemus was a man who was cultured, well educated as a part of the Sanhedrin. He would have been equal to our PhD. He was a moral man. He was a religious man, a religious teacher. And yet Jesus revealed to him that he was dead toward God. And in order to see and enter the kingdom of God, he must be born again. He must become a babe in Christ. And so, my friend, when you were born into this life, you were born spiritually dead. You were separated from God. So He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. I believe that the late J. Vernon McGee said it best on his part when he said, God loves you. Don't lose sight of that. God cannot, on the basis of His love, open the back door of heaven and slip us under the cover of darkness. He can't let down the bars of heaven at the front door to bring us in because He is love. God is also light. God is the moral ruler of this universe, my friend. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.